Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
This week, I welcome back somebody that's, well, like a sister.
Yeah.
From another time. We've kind of figured out, too. Debbie Virgin, Reverend Debbie, is here this week to talk about, well, we got some really, some of you might think this is a little strange.
Yeah, it is. I certainly thought it was strange myself.
You know, and I thought back in my own life, does this ever happen to me?
Yeah.
And I think it might have. But I can't really prove it. Yours, we can. And we'll tell you what we're talking about. I don't know if it's a multidimensional. Anybody remember, who was the fellow that wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Oh.
Bach? Richard Bach?
Yes. Bachman?
Richard Bach, I believe.
Okay.
He also wrote a book called Illusions and a book called One. And it was one of those books where he is traveling in a plane, and him and his wife, and they wind up going to these other places that exist in other dimensions, and he keeps witnessing himself.
Yes.
Only in different bodies. And one of them, he actually witnesses himself dying, and his wife is grieving, and they're on a deserted island. And then they snap out of it. I just thought that it was the coolest concept that you could go. I believe right now there could be multi-dimensions out there where you and I are interacting, but we're playing it in so many different directions,
right?
What we're saying. I've heard this theory before, that there are numerous things going on.
That's
not just
true.
What we're seeing right now.
Yes.
And that's what I thought maybe your experience could be, is that you tapped into one of these other dimensions where you exist, and so do these other people.
Yeah, it's boy, I'll tell you, it has puzzled me, and I feel it's more. Well, I think before we go any further, I should probably
tell
talk
people
about
right.
what
but
you
let
know,
me just,
the basis of this.
Right.
First.
Let's just get started once again. That Reverend Debbie's my guest. You've now have, how long have you been a reverend?
3 years.
And I'll tell you what, she's unlike any reverend I've ever met before.
I know, kind of scary.
She's. You know, I think maybe more of us would go to church if we had a reverend like Reverend Debbie, because she's like the rest of us. She's not removed. Can I say that?
That's right. That's good.
She's one of us, and she laughs, and once in a while, she might curse.
I've been known to have a potty mouth now and then. That's okay.
And you might even have a beer on occasion.
Oh, me, I say, hell yeah.
So people are probably wondering, well, what kind of reverend are you?
I am Christian-based in my faith beliefs, but I am an ordained non-denominational minister. And so, yes, although my basis of this life journey is of Christian faith, I have tremendous respect for every faith, belief, religion out there. And I've studied religion really honestly just about all of my life. Every
form. Because you and I have talked about this before. Here's another thing that doesn't fit in with most reverends. You believe in reincarnation.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Now, why do you believe that?
There are too many instances, occasions that you talk to of people that you read about that I've experienced myself of past life recognition. You know how you, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I know there's lots of people I've talked to that it has happened. I'll be looking at a picture like Louisiana Bayous, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fascination, a love. I have never been there in this lifetime.
Right.
I sure as heck am going to, though, because I know I have to. And I know at one time I lived there, and I'm certain it was during the Civil War period. You know, so I can tell you that I'll see pictures and it's like, oh my God, I remember when I was there. I remember doing this. I remember, it just feels very familiar.
Right.
As does, I can look at movies or pictures of places in, oh my goodness, I guess I'd say over in Britain somewhere, and where you see the little pictures of the little thatched homes and the cobblestone streets.
Right.
I look at that and it makes me feel so happy and it's so familiar. So I also know I lived in a location like that.
So I'm believing most people that will have like a Christian background probably don't support.
I don't think they
what
do.
You're saying.
It, you know, depending. But you know, then again, I also do want to bring attention to Dr. Brian Weiss. And reading the first book that I would recommend people, if they question reincarnation, please read his book on Many Masters, Many Lives. It is unbelievably fascinating. Yep. And I say study with him.
You know, and just to, that's just to give you a background of Debbie. I've known Debbie for quite a while now. And what I do know is that she's a type of person that helps others at the drop of a hat. Doesn't ask for a lot in return, if anything. And to me, she's just a good spirit with a good heart. And I know her and I, this all really started because she helped me. She's got this ability. If you don't want to believe it, that's up to you. But she's got this ability to communicate with angels. How long have you had that?
That I've actively recognized it and honored it and started working it probably 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago.
So it hasn't been that long. And is it something like you've developed and gotten better at, you feel?
It's, I think the better way to phrase it would be something that I surrendered to.
And you're learning to surrender to it more and more.
Every day, yes.
So things are becoming more clear to you, would you say?
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't quite as clear a year ago or a couple years ago. And
Yes, I can hear. It's like I've been able to open up my hearing better, raise my vibration higher, and hear what they're saying, and not be afraid to speak what they do tell me, and to recognize also some of the symbolism they give me. Maybe I don't get that right. You know, I'm always not always right what I'm saying, what my interpretations are. Let me put it that way.
Right.
I had a situation where somebody had asked me, they had a parent who was quite ill. What do I get when this parent would pass? And I got a number and I told the person, I said, I said 26. Okay. And so this month that we were in, I think this was April, 26th came, passed, person was, you know, the parent was still with us. This, by the way, the parent was in hospice, so we knew the parent
right.
was.
It was just a matter of time.
Yes. I said, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it'll be the next month. May 26th. Went and passed. Parent was still with. Oh, wow. I was like, I'm sorry. I guess I just got it wrong. And then came June 2nd, and that is when she passed. So 6-2. So I got the numbers.
Turn them around.
I got the right numbers just in the wrong
Why don't they
order.
Just give it to you real clear so you can see it and understand it?
That's a good question. And there are a lot of people out. There are others out there. Let me put it that way. There are others out there that get the messages, in their opinion, very clearly and very loudly and perfectly accurately. Let me back that up, and I'm going to say no, not perfectly accurately, because there's not a single one of us out there that absolutely positively gets it. They're doing the best that they can. This is me.
Is it you?
It's me. It's not them. It's me.
So when you say you surrender, you still haven't. Maybe there's more for you to surrender at this.
And it's just I'm not being able to hear it enough, loud enough. And I do ask them, angels, please, louder. And so I will ask.
So when you talk to these angels, are these just, are they archangels? Are they regular angels?
I've got a beautiful experience that I'll have to share with you. Yes, I have worked with the archangels. It's typically when I'm going to do a reading for somebody, let me back up a little bit. When I do a reading for somebody, I always connect, first of all, with my guardian angel. and any other angels that are around me. I ask all the angels and all the guides that need to be with me to please be with me. And then I invite in my clients' higher source and their guides and their angels. And it's really fascinating, because it's like all of a sudden, poof, they walk in the room, and it's like they sit down, but at a few levels higher than me, and they sit down, and we talk, but it's telepathically.
Do you ever see anything?
Yes, I do. With my physical eyes, as right now I'm sitting here looking at a microphone. Typically with my physical eyes, I will see things in the peripheral. I see constantly. Right. I'm not even going to say typically. That's constant.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Constant. Otherwise, when I see things, yes, I do see things. That's usually with intuitively seeing them. It's very hard to describe to somebody what that is, but it's like a very clear boof, boof, a picture in my head, as it were. And that's my intuitive seeing. It's.
And you were telling me before we did the interview, the hardest thing is learn to trust, so you don't think, well, am I just imagining this?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not the first person I talked to that connects. You know, I've had a woman on recently that does animal readings.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really cool, because she was actually able to talk to the spirit of the animal when it was passed.
Yeah.
And the animal was planning on coming back. We did this for Mindy recently.
Oh.
And she said, you just have to continue to learn to trust the process, because you doubt it. Mm-hmm. And you should doubt it a little bit, maybe.
Skepticism is good.
But also you have to have faith in what's going on, and that's just going to make it easier and better, right?
Yes.
So that, I've had this experience with other people, so I know what you're saying.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, because people will sit there and think, everybody is like, well, surely I'm making this up. You know, what's, you know, okay, boy, maybe I need to go and make an appointment with a psychiatrist. Well, you might,
or,
but, you know.
Or she's out to take my money. And
there's
plenty of that, right?
There are those that aren't doing it for the highest good. And you know what? That's how you know if it's something angelic, because it's always for the greater good. It's always for the highest good.
Right. Well, I've seen it firsthand, those of you listening. We have done many different things together. And it's not so much together. It's like I would get somebody to call the radio station. They'd lose a dog. I'd ask them if they'd be interested in talking to Debbie. I always give them that option.
Yeah.
And then they'll call you, and you're kind enough to take the call. You'll give them what you feel is a reading. She's not making money doing this.
Nope.
And not that there's anything wrong, but she just drops what she's doing to help these people out, gets what she can, tells them, and then more than once, I've gotten calls back at the radio station, and it's cool to get validation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People, and one of the coolest stories is that there was a dog that was missing, and you got the name Rose, and you got some kind of building, and
the direction.
These people were so upset and worried about their dog, and they contacted you. And I remember I talked to you in between, and I never got to talk to him again, but you were dead on. This dog was found in a greenhouse underneath some rose bushes, and they actually called the radio station back. I didn't get to talk to them, but they were so delighted they passed it on to the person answering the phone. And so
cool.
Isn't that something? And you've done that many times. You've even picked out the initials of my grandfather, who I couldn't remember because my mom's been gone for a while. You told me he's around me. I mean, these are just little things that I've seen Debbie do, and it's happened time. Recently, we just did a reading. She did a reading as a help to a friend who I'm going to contact, and she came up with the name John. Totally, obviously I believe that you were given that name. Where do you come up with that? So, again, those of you that don't believe, you don't have to. We don't care one way or the other. That's fine. I just know your heart, and I know it's a good heart.
Yeah.
And she might have been my sister back in the day.
That's right. You were.
Or at least like a sister. So I believe I lived in the South, and I believe it was during the Civil War time. So we may have that connection.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we'll find out.
That's where it is.
You know what I also have a feeling of, and I never told you this? I have a feeling of abandonment, and I've had this my whole life. And certain things will just flick, and I'll start tearing up. And I thought it was somebody that left me when I was in a different lifetime.
Right.
But I think I left some people that I loved, and I couldn't return. And I always felt, this is what I'm starting to feel more, that I didn't make it back, because if I was in this time period and my life was taken, I never got to come back and see the people that I cared about. That's what I'm, I mean, that could be, that's what
but
I'm
when
saying.
You cross over, though, you the circle of love continues
right,
on.
Right, and but so we carry some of that with us, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying now.
Absolutely. But you know what? Did you ever get, I don't know, did I ever tell you that about you being on a, I've seen you on a Civil War, on a field. You're in a blue uniform.
I was in blue.
Yes, you're
see,
in blue.
I thought it was gray.
No, this one I see you in blue.
Huh.
And okay, where do you have this? No, I see you in blue, and I do. You died on the field. You were young. I'm getting around 19 years of age or so. So you're still a baby.
Right.
You're still always will so be you your think mother's I was in baby.
A, so you think I was a, could have been a, you're sure that's a Civil War memory?
If that's the blue uniform with great big gold buttons, is that Civil War time?
Could be. I'd have to look at a picture.
Yeah, and it's on a field. It's just a field. And
so if that's the case,
see you
though,
dying.
If that's the case, great. I just died.
Yeah, but it was, you know, I mean, you had nobody around you, and you weren't wild about being at war anyway. I mean, everybody
right.
does, but once you got in there and saw the horrors of war, and it was like, you know,
right.
Not good.
But not I good. I guess my whole point for bringing up that, too, is that if you feel we were connected around that time period. Well, if I'm fighting for the North and you're living in the South, chances are I may not have known you then, right?
Well, you could have, though.
Maybe who knows?
Maybe you came into my home
in
the South and you were with, you know, that, what do you call them, that troop? Am I using the right wording? That particular troop of soldiers.
Right. Company.
And I mean, you know, you weren't real nice. Y'all weren't very nice.
Yes, we were.
No, you weren't. Damn Yankees.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to get to what this show is really all about. That's interesting that you say that. Thank you. And we'll continue talking to Debbie in just a moment.
Out there.
In this turbulent economy, financial scams come in all shapes and sizes, and unfortunately, anyone can become a victim. This is Ken Ross, Commissioner of the Michigan Office of Financial and Insurance Regulation. Our agency protects consumers from financial scammers. Before you invest, call us toll-free at 877-999-6442, and we'll run a check on any broker, advisor, or investment product. Call us today at 877-999-6442.
John Bennett was paralyzed by a sniper's bullet in Iraq.
It shattered two vertebrae and fractured another one.
John's wife, Dina.
Paralyzed Veterans of America got us our benefits.
Senior National Service Officer Michael Killen.
I hand-carried the forms over to the VA and walked them through the system.
You're just trying to survive, and they help you along the way.
To learn more about Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit pva.org. A public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is Rosalind Elena McGrath of Intuitive Learning Creations, and you're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
Thanks for joining me on Out There. Debbie Virgin, she is Reverend Debbie, although she doesn't mind whatever I call her, I guess.
Yeah, for the most part.
And we've just become really good friends, and I'm sure it was arranged to become that before we wound up here. And it's, you know, and it's not going to happen, I think, until you're ready. You reach a certain point in your life. So right. That's what I've noticed. Now, you've got three stories. I think it's three, you said.
Yeah, there's three occurrences.
What is this? Let's talk about what happened.
This is something that puzzled me for a long time, and then it happened again a couple of times, and we'll get into what the things are. My mother, about back in 95... was no I'm sorry 94 she discovered that she had there was something in one of her lungs, and so and that just happened to be found by accident, and so there was going to be surgery. I'm sorry, I need to back up a little bit further than this. Okay. I was living in California at the time, and this would have been probably in 1990, I believe, is when this happened, 89 or 90. And my mother came to me. She had been to the doctor's office. She came to my house afterwards, and I remember her coming in and sitting down. We walked through my living room, sat right down at my dining room table there, and I asked her, how did it go at the doctor's? And she says, I had a mole on my back that was removed, and they said it was melanoma. And I said, Mom, and I remember I'm like, just like, holy crap. I'm like, Mom, oh my God, what are you going to do? And she's like, well, they didn't seem, I don't know. Nobody said anything, so nobody seems to be too concerned about it. And I'm like, Mom, melanoma is really, this is really serious. And she's like, well, I guess they'll be looking into it. It's been sent off for testing anyway, so I'm not worried about it. And she completely, totally was not worried whatsoever. And so I was like, okay, now we're going to fast forward. That was it. Eventually, then I moved out here, blah, blah, blah. So now we're going to fast forward to 1994. And that's when my mom discovered there was this little spot in her lung. So they were going to go in and remove this. They removed this. She went into surgery, and my sister called me after the surgery. I'm out here in Michigan, my sister, and everybody is out in California still. And my sister called and said, okay, they removed this thing from Mom's lung. It was not lung cancer. And I was like, okay, good, thank God. And then she says it was metastatic melanoma. And I was like, oh, my God. And I said to my sister, didn't she ever do anything with that damn mole? And my sister's like, what are you talking about? And I said, Mom came into my house after she'd been to see the doctor, had this mole removed, and she told me it was melanoma. Didn't they do anything? So my sister's like, I never heard anything about this. Well, once Mom came, like the next day, she had come to, and I talked to her on the phone, and I'm like, Mom, this, she was like, oh, she was thrilled that it wasn't lung cancer. She didn't realize how serious or acknowledge how serious this now was. And I said, Mom, I remember when, God, Mom, didn't you do anything about when they told you you had melanoma, when they took this mole off your back? And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, Mom, you came into my house. We sat down, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. We never had that conversation. I'm sorry. Yes, I did have a mole removed from my back. But no, that never happened.
Possible she just forgot. Possible that she...
Nah, my mom was sharp lady.
But I mean, we have conversations with people.
Yeah, but I mean, something like this.
You would think, right? I'm just looking like at this, any option that it could be.
And I understand that, and I appreciate that, because I'm like, Mom, and she's like, we never had that conversation. Now, you would think if she and I had had this conversation, she would have shared this with my sister. She would have shared this with her husband, my stepfather, with my grandpa, her father, any of us, anybody else in the family.
Is this anything like a dream that you could have had?
No. Okay. This was absolutely positive.
Okay, there's one story.
Not a dream.
Let's talk about another one.
Okay. Now, we're going to fast forward to this is 2011, so I'm going to say probably this was about 2009. There was a gal that I was working with. I'm going to call her Sally. And I had gone into work, and Sally was standing there. Sally, how are you? And she says, oh, gosh. And so she went on to tell me that she was all worried and pissed off because my daughter's pregnant, and her daughter was like 17 or something like that. And she's like, she says, she can't take care of herself, much less a kid. And she said, and I remember this because she was so specific, and I I haven't heard this term in a long time, and I never really cared for it. But she says, but what the hell? I got knocked up at that age, too.
Mm.
And so, I mean, it was so specific because I've never liked that phrasing. And right. I was like, oh, well, gosh, you know, I sure hope that, you know, I wish you the best, blah, blah, blah. Okay, about 6 weeks passes. Then I go into work, see this gal here and there. So about 6 weeks had passed or so, going to work. Sally, hi, how are you? I said to her, and I asked her, I said, oh, how's your daughter's pregnancy coming? Sally looked at me, and she gave me a look like, oh, she goes, what in the hell are you talking about? She better not be pregnant. I'll kill her. And she just went like flipping postal on me. What was interesting? And I'm like, Sally, you and I. And she's like, no, we did not have a conversation. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. She's all pissed off at me. But what was interesting was at the end of her tirade, she then said, but you know, it's interesting because I've got an appointment to take her to the free clinic in a couple of days and have a pregnancy test because she's late with her period. Mm. So I said, well, tell you what, she's pregnant. So and that's what we're going to take from this.
And she was.
And she was. Absolutely. Then let's say it was probably about 3 months after that, at another location. I was working at three different locations. I had gone to another location at work, and I was talking with one of the managers in the back, and we've got money used to go in these envelopes, big manila envelopes. And I had told this gal, I'm going to call her, I don't know, I'll call her Georgia. And I said, Georgia, gosh, you know, every time I took one of these envelopes and I ripped it open, and I said, I'm so glad, you know, you had told me ever since you told me that story about the guy who was stealing money from the business and he was putting it in the envelopes and then throwing the envelopes away, and then he'd come back after work and after closing and go through the trash and get the envelopes to get the money. Well, when you think about it, that's stupid. Nobody's going to do – you couldn't do that. That would be right. impossible to do, honestly, but – I told her, I said that. Sorry. She looked at me and she's like, what in the hell are you talking about? And I said, don't you remember you told me about that? Da, 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 and the envelopes, that's why I always tear them open like this when they're no good and I'm going to throw them away. And she's like, you're crazy, Debbie. She says, there's no way we had that conversation. How would anybody do that? How would that work? And I'm like, okay, I know what's going on. So I said, okay, Georgia, here's the deal. She didn't know. I said, all right, I'm a psychic medium, and I get this stuff. And so I'm going to tell you right now, this is what happened. So this is a warning for you, obviously. You need to watch your money, and this is something that's, you know, there's something about this money. I don't really think it's you, though. I feel it's like you're maybe your daughter. Somebody's taking stuff out of her purse. So somebody is taking this money. They're hiding it, something with envelopes. I don't know. Watch out. That's all I can tell you. About 2 weeks goes by. I go into work about 2 weeks later, and she's like, oh my God, I couldn't wait for you to come in. And she just like tackles me, and she's like, holy cats. And then she went on and told me a very dear friend of hers, and they were raised together, and they really considered each other sisters. They were that close. And then they each had children. And then one of her children, who was, you know, her friend's grandchild, was born and had had some kind of a medical condition, quite serious medical condition. So they were having big fundraisers. And so money was being mailed in for this person. And there was somebody else who was supposed to be taking care of all this, taking in the funds and recording it, blah, 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 blah. And this person was going one for them and two for me, one for you, three for me. And they discovered her with her purse. She had tons of money and checks and stuff that had been given in that she had in her purse.
Okay, so now you were able to prove, at least with, I guess, especially the middle story about the pregnancy and this as well, but
all of them.
How do you explain having this memory of talking to these people and they don't?
I know. You know, I have pondered this. Oh my God, so many times. Plus, pondered, how do I know when it's happening? Because I didn't know it was happening at the time that we had the conversation. It was just afterwards when I said, well, remember, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we didn't. And so then I know. So, but I know it's been mentioned to me, was this maybe I bent time? String theory. You know, then you get into the quantum physics, and I can't go there right
see,
now.
See, I don't know if it's like bending time, because that's almost like time travel. But I can believe that we are coming to a time, this is just my belief and the people I've talked to, where things are overlapping, and maybe other dimensions are opening up, and things are coming through. This explains why we see more paranormal, why more unknown things are happening. People have more abilities to sense things. But also, what if there are these multiple dimensions right next to us, like I said, right? Like Richard Bach suggested.
Right.
And we can once in a while glimpse into them. Now, things might be slightly different, playing out a little bit different, but similar enough to where we can take something that we might have grabbed from there. And this is my only explanation. Otherwise, I don't know what to tell you.
Welcome to my world. I know, because and that is definitely possible. But is it just this is what and I have put up angels? Why? How? What am I supposed to learn from this? But is this just I have to warn these people?
Right.
You know. But I look at like with my mom's situation. And her telling me this is melanoma, and me, Mom, my God, this is serious, blah, blah, blah. And she was, did she chart in her life, you know, now we're going to go back to, you know, the Akashic Records, and but when she made her sacred contract to come back into this lifetime, and that's what she charted, is this what she charted,
right.
And how to leave this world at that time.
It's part of a choice.
Right, so... you know, maybe that, but this was for me to learn to prepare.
Right.
And then for Sally with the daughter's pregnancy, prepare. Georgia with the theft, prepare.
It still
be
doesn't
warned.
Explain to me how did this happen and what is this?
How do I get anything though?
But were you physically were there talking to these people?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Again, this has to be another state of consciousness.
I know it's just beyond me. I know. I don't know. I don't know. I know another state of consciousness. It's got to be an overlapping of a dimension. You know, this is where I get so confused because I'm like, okay, so how do I know when this is, you know, herein lies my dilemma. How do I know when this is happening?
Right.
You know, we could talk about something and maybe I could say, oh my goodness, something about, you tell me about an accident, let's say a car accident, that minor fender bender that you have, let's say. And so 2 weeks later, I see you on the street and I'm like, how you doing? And it's like, oh my stars, you know, I'm okay, but I have to get a new car because I just had a, and I'll be like, well, wait, didn't that hit? You told me about this 2 weeks ago, and you're like, no, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to explain this. I know I'm sounding like I'm rambling, but...
No, it's really neat. I think it's really neat. I'm glad you
shared. It's very, very unique. It's a very
unique...
And I'm
curious, and I'm always trying to go, what could that be?
I know, and I've got to study this a whole lot more. And you know what? Then the point of the point remains, though, too, that... there are so many mysteries out there that we don't know, and we don't know why, we don't know how, and all we can do is speculate, or what we're given in faith that we believe, you know, in our faith.
And I think also we can find a lot of answers if we truly start to search.
Yes, we can.
And with an open mind, we can receive.
And you feel it. Right. You know.
Or
when it's
a coincidence. Somebody
there's
shows
no
up.
Coincidences.
Right,
in
but
life.
I'm just saying. You know, you ask for something and, oh, look at this. Somebody sent me an email on that. And it's like you start to piece it together. Because it is, I think the truth is always being given to us if we want to accept it and take that next step. And that's what I feel I'm here to do is to continue to learn these things. That's what excites me. So let me tell you my weird story when I was like 10 years old, 9 years old. I remember... Our mom would always get up with us, and we'd have to get up pretty early because the bus picked us up, and we had a ride on it for about an hour. So it's maybe the bus would have picked us up around 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were still eating cereal, and it was like we were dragging like we always did, my brother and I. He's a year older than me. And my mom said, come on, boys, hurry up, finish eating. And so I'm just eating my cereal, poking along. I don't want to go to school. And I remember she reached up on the clock, and we had one of those clocks where, you know, this is back 40 years ago. And she was able to turn, she turned the clock back 10 minutes. And she got, I just gave you guys more time so you can be ready. And I said, wow, that's cool, Mom. How'd you do that? You just finish up and get ready. Now, this to me is a memory. And I know she probably had the clock set fast just to, okay, I'm going to bend time for you guys this one time, but you can't do this again.
Boss.
And when I called, you know, years later when I sat down with my mom and my brother and I said, remember when you did that with the clock? I thought that was so cool. And they both said, we never did that. She never did that. Now, I know that's probably nothing like what you...
You know what the feeling is, though.
You know, but I really believe it happened.
Well,
I know
yeah.
it was. I
you
was
know
right
it
there.
Happened.
And they probably forgot. But the thing that always puzzled me, why does she do that?
Yeah.
And it was just really, to me, it was just, I don't know. Maybe I'm...
That's interesting, because, yeah, and that's what you've got to look at. Yeah, I love that, because you're questioning, why did she do that? What have you learned from that happening that now you realize
that you know
what?
It's the first
that.
Time I thought of it since you told me the stories. I haven't thought about it in years.
Well, obviously, you're supposed to right now. You got to find. You got to figure out something from it.
So maybe it's an answer to what you're saying, is that you did bend time, but you don't think the angels are saying no. That's not what happened.
No, I'm not saying that they're saying no. I'm not getting any clear answers.
One way or the other.
Yeah. And so that's usually when it's like, the way I like to put it, I think I've told you this before, maybe, I'll ask a question and it's like crickets.
Nothing.
It's like, okay, that means I got to learn this on my own.
Do you think that we can bend time?
Go further with that. Expand.
There has been a theory that everything is playing out at once. The past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
All are happening. So really,
yes.
All we'd have to do is step back and step in somewhere else. Step back, step in, step back.
Yes, I do subscribe to that theory somewhat. I have done astral travel, but it was like for a time in the past, way in the past. And in fact, I wasn't even a human. That's what's interesting. It was within the animal world.
Really?
Yeah, this was really bizarre. This is during my meditations, I was meditating. I wasn't asking for anything. I was just open and meditating. And I, all of a sudden, all I know is I'm just happy and meditating. And all of a sudden, I'm a buffalo. And I know it. This is so funky. And I'm like standing over a cliff. I'm at the edge of the cliff looking over. I literally can feel the wind blowing through the fur on my front legs.
No kidding.
This was so bizarre. And did I see myself? Like, was I up above observing myself or something? No. I actually was the buffalo. And I had full knowledge that I was a buffalo. I mean, I didn't look at myself and go, holy crap, I'm a buffalo. You know, all I know is that I'm standing there and I can feel the wind going through and they got to have some kind of feathering on their legs because that's what I felt. And I could see the grass swing right by me. And about then I was like, whoa, and then poof, right back.
Wow.
That was the most, wow. That
so
totally rocked my socks
do
off.
You believe that people... Now, you believe in reincarnation. Do you believe
yes.
we can come back as animals?
Well, see, that's what really confused me, because I thought, no, I don't believe it's... Although, there are the religions that do believe in, you know,
right.
progression.
Right.
So I always kind of felt that was species-specific, as it were. Once a human, always a human. I don't know.
Who knows?
It's one of those mysteries. All I can tell you is I was a buffalo
good
in this
thing,
astral travel.
Good thing I didn't see you.
Yeah, you would have shot
Yankee
me a little.
Shot.
Damn Yankee. So But yeah, I mean, that was funky.
Your head would have been wanted on my wall.
Or I could have been looking at you the whole time.
That's true. Maybe I wanted to put it there.
People would have walked by and said, God, his eyes are like following you.
You know what? I might have put it in the bathroom instead.
As a rug to walk on, huh? Here, take this. So
well, we're out of time, but boy, it's just really nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Not only do you, your conversation is enjoyable, but you really lift people's spirits, and I think anybody that knows that.
Thank you.
It's just such a joy to be around you.
Oh, thank you so much. I always feel the same way around you. It's so wonderful because there's just such a deep familiarity
and energy
with you.
Too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, yes. You know, people can think whatever they want. Debbie speaks honestly. Sharing this story, a lot of people wouldn't have shared it that way. But I think what's cool is you just say whatever comes to you. And you don't hold back. And that's what I really like. So,
well, thank you.
I hope you continue. I'm sure you will.
Yes.
And we will talk again soon.
I hope so. Thank you, TJ.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.